Amen, amen. Well, I don't know how it was for you growing up, but in my home as a child, growing up at Christmas time was an exciting time. Pastor Rob was not always Pastor Rob. I was an unbeliever at the time. So for me as a child, Christmas meant what? Gifts, stuff, our list. And for us as a family, we did Christmas together. So it's a great memory. It's a great time to go back and to say, wow, there's some good memories. There's some good traditions there. You know, in our family, my brother was allergic. He had allergies. So we could not have a real Christmas tree. So we had the fake one. And that was an event, you know, putting the right limbs in the stem, you know, right colors. Oh, that one's not right. It would look funny. But after you got it together, it was a perfect Christmas tree. I mean, picture perfect. So we would spend the day kind of going, you know, classic Christmas music going on, lighting the tree, putting up the decorations, decorating the house. My mom was good at baking. We'd bake sugar cookies and decorate them and eat most of them. It was just a great time of year, great memories experienced at Christmas for me. And then at the end of the day, we would just turn the lights on the tree, sit in the couch and just drink eggnog. It was a great time. A great memory. And so for kids, Christmas is that exciting time, right? They're excited about what they're going to get, the presents and all that. But Christmas comes just once a year, doesn't it? And I began to think about that this week. And I think I talked a little bit about it last week at our service. It's like Christmas just comes one time a year. And it's that time of year where the hustle and the bustle and the excitement about the season. And certainly, you know, in this area, it's a joyous time. It should be that time where you enjoy gathering together with family and with friends. I don't know how many parties you've gone to, but different people I've talked to said, I'm on my fourth party and we've got four more yet before Christmas. And it's exciting, but then sometimes it can be exhausting. But it's those times that we take, those times that we spend just getting together with friends and family. Those are the times that I remember. I don't know about you. And I hope my wife doesn't get mad at me about this, but I don't remember one of my Christmas gifts from last year. But I do remember the time we had. I do remember the time we had to spend together during that time of the year, last year. And she's probably telling people what I got last year right now. But it's those things that are memorable, right? Right? I mean, have you ever watched Jim Carrey's The Scrooge? Or is that right? Is that the right name? Yeah. The Grinch. Yeah, The Grinch. Sorry. I was like, wait a minute. The Grinch. The Grinch who stole Christmas. You know, it's like that one scene in there goes, really? Is this what it's all about? The packages, the gifts, the bow ties that come to my place. You know, those things. It's like, it's not the stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. It is so nice to open a gift. It's so nice to know someone took some time to wrap the gift, to go buy the gift, to put it into a box, and to wrap it for us so we can open it up, and then we can see their heart for us. You know, a lot of husbands in here are going, oh, no. Stressful time. But listen, it's relationship that matters. And if we're going to allow, and this is my prayer for us as we learn this morning and look at the people who were impacted by the first Christmas, if we would realize Christmas should be all the time for us as believers, as Christians. The birth of Christ is the most important thing, as I said, heaven ever gave to earth. And it's an important thing. And certainly we know the life of Christ and his death upon the cross, who takes away our sins, is really the paramount part. But to celebrate the birth is a celebration of heaven loving on earth and God loving us. And so I hope that that birth of Christ for you changed you in such a way that it lasts all year long. And honestly, it takes effort, doesn't it? It takes effort to remember. Because what's going to happen in January and in February, I just looked up the statistic this morning. The two most depressing months of the year are January and February. December is the fourth most depressing month of the year. Why is that? Here's why it is. Because for some, I don't know if they're in this room or not, Christmas time is a stressful time. Christmas time brings back bad memories. I lost my mom in a Christmas season one year. And so now for me, Christmas, yes, it's joyous, but there's that memory that I lost my mother. So for some in this room, you're all there going, I just want Christmas to pass on by. because it brings heartbreak. Christmas time, not only can it be joyous, it can also be the painfulest season of the year because of what you cannot do for your children, for what you cannot provide for your family. For some families, they can't afford a Christmas tree. For other families, they can't afford gifts. And so to watch TV and see all the ads of the wonderful Christmas, it just breaks their heart. It just shows to them that this is not going to be a good Christmas. My kids aren't going to have a good Christmas. And I want to say to this church, I am so blessed by your generosity and your attention to people that we know that may not have the things that they need for Christmas. And you've stepped up to the plate. I applaud you for doing that. Why? Because it takes someone paying attention. We cannot go through life with blinders on, just doing our own thing. We must look around and say, who has need this year? Christmas time, there are many, many needs. And I am blessed that this church, Operation Christmas Child, in his name, we're able to bless others who can't bless themselves. But how important it is to bless each other. Now, with that mindset, I want us to think about, what are we going to do January 1st? What are we going to do January 2nd, January 15th, when we're into February, and then back into July? Are we going to still have this heart of watching our brothers and sisters and seeing where there are needs? That Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, could come out during the entire time of the year and say, someone has a need, and I can meet it. I want to meet it. To the glory of God. We have such an opportunity, my friends, my brothers and sisters, an opportunity to take this spirit and let it last. Yes, because this is what happens, right? It's an joyful time of the year. We put the decorations up, but what happens after Christmas is the most depressing thing. The decorations all have come down. The credit card bills have to come into the mail. We bank account statements go, ooh, that was a little depleted. It gets a little depressing. No wonder January and February are so discouraging. It's like, no. If we're looking at it with those eyes, we'll get discouraged. But if we look at it as when we take the decorations down and saying, God, thank you for blessing my Christmas. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of someone else's life and touching them, showing them your love. See, it doesn't have to be this way, does it? Christmas should never be about the stuff. It's great to get a gift. I love opening packages. I love gifts. Side note. Just kidding. Do you really want to be blessed? Get your pastor a gift. I mean, it's just kidding. But it's not about that. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the stuff. It's not about having to take the lights down and doing all those things. It's being sensitive to those around us that we can show the love of Christ in their lives. See, in order for this to happen, though, it takes what I'm calling perspective. It's taking a perspective when we look at this season to grasp the fact that Jesus came to give us a life. And listen, what the Bible tells us, that life that he came to give us was what? More abundant, right? An abundant life. So the opportunities that we have to live the abundant life are those opportunities he gives us to touch the life of another. The life that does not look at things we have or things that we don't have, but rather who we are as a believer, who we are as a Christian, as one that has the Holy Spirit. Yes, God sent his Son to take away our sin. The consequences may still be there, right? Anybody ever experienced consequences of sins that we've made? They're forgiven, but there's still the consequences are there. And so it's during those times that the guilt of sin is gone, but the consequences are there, that we must lock arms together as brothers and sisters and walk through this thing called life and live it abundantly. Do you want the abundant life? Yes. You want it. And it's not in the stuff that we get. It's in the stuff that we give. There's nothing more blessed than to give, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive, Jesus said. And that's the blessing we need to have. One of my favorite Christmas verses, if you will, is Isaiah 9:6, prophesying of the coming Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I always like to remind myself that God was the first one to set the standard of giving. He gave his son to us. And that is a gift we must open and we must live out. So like I said, real briefly, we may even end a little bit early this morning. I just want to kind of take a survey in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2 of the people that were impacted by the birth of Christ. So look with me at Luke chapter 1, verse 41. We meet our first person. This is Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist, the one who will proclaim the coming of Christ. And so we read in verse 41, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" So give me your attention. Elizabeth experience. She's pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary, who's pregnant with Jesus, comes to her house. And just to hear the mouth of Mary, the words of Mary, the baby inside of Elizabeth leaps. John the Baptist has an experience. Because what? Because his Savior has just entered the room. And what we're going to see here, interestingly, each and every person that we come in contact with, we see these words at the end of verse 41, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me suggest to us, it's impossible for us to live the Christmas spirit throughout the year without the guidance, without the power, without the filling, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was able to say, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." In essence, I would like to suggest to you, Elizabeth was the first one to bless God. Because she blessed the baby with inside Mary. And this is something that I've been thinking about this week as well. Do we not ask God, "Please bless me, God. Please bless my children. Please bless my business. Please bless my school. Please bless all of these things." But I wonder, should we be saying, "Lord, help me to bless you. Lord, I want to bless your name. I want to bless who you are." And that's what happened with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the baby leaps, and she's able to bless the mother of Christ and Christ himself. So we see this, and we need to think about that was the reaction. That was the empowerment. If we're going to live this out, we need the Holy Spirit. Same chapter, jump down to verse 67. Now we go to the father, or the husband of Elizabeth. And the father of John the Baptist, in verse 67, says, Now his father, Zacharias, was, here it is again, filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, look at, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." In the same way as Elizabeth, as Zacharias comes, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he prophesies, "Blessed is the Lord of God." Do you see the attitude? Do you see the perspective that these people have based on the coming of the Messiah? That God is blessed. Blessed be the Lord. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, blessed is the Lord. Flip over to chapter 2, verse 13. Not necessarily a person, but now we're seeing angels and a heavenly host. Verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts," look at, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill towards men.'" Angels, blessing God, glory to God, giving all the attention to God. When's the last time you just spent some time in your quiet time and just said, "God, you are so awesome. God, you are so wonderful." There's people in my life that constantly remind me of the goodness of God, constantly remind me of how much they love God. Driving over here this morning in my truck, coming to church, I'm like, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you." I need to remind myself of my love for Christ and our love for him. That blesses his heart. Please, 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 never let your prayers just be a list of things you want God to do for you. Let there be within that list of your prayers saying, "God, thank you for these circumstances." Listen, good or bad, and we'll see that in a moment. Good or bad, the bad situations in your life that are happening in your life right now, God is allowing to happen in your life to make you a stronger person. And I just had a thought. As this new year comes, 2015, and I'm putting this out there because I want to hear your heart. I want to hear what God has done in your life. In 2015, God has impressed upon my heart to bring people in our fellowship forward and to share what God has done in their lives with the congregation. Because I know as I look around this room, I see stories of God's power in these faces around me. I'm blessed to know what God has done in your life. But there's other than this fellowship that may not. And so I want to take the opportunity to say, so-and-so, what has God done in your life? And them to give a testimony, to give a praise, to bless God's name for what he's done for them. And some of them you're going to say, wow, that was tragic, but look what happened. Look how God turned it around. And so I say that to say, listen, there's people in this room that have gone through tragedy and difficulty in their life. And I tell you, there's no doubt they would have prayed, Lord, take this from me. But to see now where they are today, to see now where they are walking with the Lord today is a testament to God's goodness that he works all things out for good. Whatever you're going through, however difficult it is, however discouraged you may be, you got to bless God through it and say, God, I know you're going to get me on the other side. I know you're going to carry me through. And I know you're going to make me stronger than I am today. That's why God allows trials in our lives. If trials were not in our lives, we would be very weak Christians. Amen? Amen. Weak. But we've had experiences with God. We've seen God work. The Holy Spirit has confirmed to us that God is in control. And so this is what we must do. So even the angels glorifying God. Flip over to verse in chapter 2, verse 20. Only a couple more. Verse 20. Here are the shepherds. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and had seen as it was told to them. Even the shepherds who came were praising God for the Messiah, for Jesus, the birth of Christ. Jump down to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. I would highlight that. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, side note, circumcision, verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Those are the people that have been impacted powerfully by the birth of Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit, blessing the name of God. I ask you this morning, if you're saved, if you believe in Jesus, do you believe you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you believe that there is a continual filling of that Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis? Yes. May I encourage you to ask for that every day. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. This was the life of these people. Simeon was a devout man. He was committed to God. He heard the voice of God. He was led by the Spirit. He was directed by the Spirit. He was filled by the Spirit. Every single day, ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. When you're in a season of your life, when you feel dry, when you feel discouraged, when you feel like everything kind of ticks you off, it's because you don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're low, you're Holy Spirit tank is running low. And I'm telling you, ask for the Holy Spirit. And he gives liberally. He gives. I think it even says in Luke's gospel, it says, how much more does your Heavenly Father love you and to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You don't have to be special. You don't have to stand on one leg and pray for an hour like that. No, God, I need the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. It can't only be for your good. Do you hear me? God, give me the Holy Spirit so that my life can be guided and directed and orchestrated in such a way where you get all the glory. You see what I'm saying? Solomon asked God for wisdom, did he not? And God blessed him with wisdom because he wanted wisdom to direct God's people. And so God answered that and gave him other things. But Solomon's heart was pure. Lord, I want to be wise so that I can direct your people. That should be our heart as we enter into 2015. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit because I want to live a life that stands out from the rest, that stands out from the crowd, that speaks to people's situations and circumstances. So the Holy Spirit's need in your life is so very, very important. Now, you don't need to turn there, but in Matthew's gospel, we see two other people that experience something and are moved by this. In chapter 2 of the book of Matthew, it says the wise men came from the east. Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For you have seen his star in the east and have come to what? Worship him. Come to worship him. Even Herod, you'll see Wednesday night at our kids' children play, that even Herod says, go get the child, bring him to me so that I might worship him. Now, we know he didn't want to do that. We know that was a lie. But notice the attitude he had. Bring this child to me that I might worship him. I mean, even King Herod, even he knew that the right response to the birth of Christ is what? Worship. I wonder if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're blessing the name of God, if we can just have our lives live such a way that we are in constant worship and praise to him. Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible to worship him when you're going through a difficult time? Is it possible to worship him when things are going good with you? See, I believe that this is the heart that we must have as we enter into a season past Christmas, is to have a heart of worship. And I'm not saying singing. Because trust me, I'm not a good singer. You know, I sing in the car. My wife says, could you be quiet, please? Or turn the radio up. But you know what? It blesses God's heart. It blesses his heart when we worship him. And it's not just with song. It's not just with it. It's with our lives. Worshiping him with our lives. I want you to see this verse. Because the first question I have for you is, when should you live your life with an attitude of praise and worship? Well, Psalm 34, verse 1 says this. I will bless the Lord at all times. Is it there? Yes. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So when should you worship? All the time. All the time. No matter what. When everything in your life is going good, praise him. When everything in your life is not going so good, praise him as well. Both of these, I suggest to you, are difficult. You would think, well, wait, when things are going good, no problem to praise him. No, we have a tendency to forget. Things are going good. Everything's going well. Well, no need to praise the Lord. No, we need to praise him continually. When things are going good in your life, don't forget to praise him by just saying thank you. Lord, thank you that things are going well in my life. Thank you that the bills are paid. Thank you that my rent's paid. Thank you that my job is good. Thank you that I love all my friends and my family is really loving this year. Thank you, Lord. Thank him. Praise him. Thank him for the small things. Because I believe, that's interesting, I guess God's done, all right? What was I saying? Praise him for the small things. Because if you can practice praising God for the little stuff, thank you, and let there be light. If you can practice praising God for the small things, when the big things come, it'll be a lot more natural for you. You see what I'm saying? I thank God for green lights. I don't know why I don't thank him for red lights. I'm being convicted as I say that. But green lights are good for me. God bless you. But praising him for the little things in your life, you know? Praise him for heat. You know, heat is nice. Comfortable chair is a good thing to have, right? Praising him for those little things. When things aren't so good, you need to learn to praise as well. Now, there's no doubt when things don't go well, our prayers go up. but our praise might not go up as well. Praise sometimes goes down. We get on our knees and we ask. But we need to be in the midst of it praising Him. Because you know that He's the only one that can maybe change your circumstances. He's the only answer that you have. He's the only one that in a blink of an eye can change the circumstances in your life. The circumstances that are negative in front of you right now, God can change in an instant. Do you believe it? Yes, if you believe it, then praise Him during those times. You know this psalm, many of us have probably read this psalm. It's to me, shows such maturity in David. Such a heart that David had. He was sensitive to his emotions. He was sensitive to his feelings. But this is what he says. You can write it down. It's not going to be overhead. It's Psalm 42:11. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to himself. "And why are you disquieted within me?" There was turmoil happening inside David's heart. He was in a bad place, hiding in a cave from his enemies. And he's going, "I'm downcast, I'm discouraged, everything around me is falling apart." But notice what he says after he asks the questions. He says, "Hope in God." He's speaking to himself, he's speaking to his own heart, he's speaking to his own soul, saying, "Why are you downcast? Why are you discouraged? Hope in God." Why? Because when you put your hope in God, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed when you trust that God can change your circumstances. So that's when we do it. All the time. Whether things are good or when things are bad. How do we do it? How do we do it? And this is where I kind of want to wrap things up and let us think about how we can actually do this in 2015. First and foremost, as we've seen in this little survey of the people there that experienced the birth of Christ, first of all, it's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, all right? Because listen, there's a lot of good things. I've said this probably a million times in my life. There's a lot of good things we can do for God. But if we're not being led by God to do it, we're going to frustrate ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's a lot of needs in the world. There's a lot of good things we can get behind or we can start. But if God is not in it, we're going to frustrate ourselves. So the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is first and foremost. How you do it is by being a servant. It's by being a servant. Worshiping God is by serving, right? Jesus came to serve, not to be served, right? He set the example that we would serve. That blesses God by our service to others. So in this coming year, I ask you to look for opportunities to help people. As I've kind of said, you guys have kind of paid attention to some other people in the fellowship that could use some help during the holiday. Be sensitive to that. Look for those opportunities. If you're at home and you're cooking dinner and you know at work there's a single mom that has a hard time getting home and getting dinner for her kids, make an extra portion. Bring it to her. Serve her in that way. You know, if you're out raking leaves, I don't know what we do this time of year, raking leaves or blowing leaves off of your lawn, maybe consider doing your neighbor's lawn as well. Look for those opportunities to serve people around you. You'll be blessed by doing it. They'll be blessed by receiving it. And ultimately, God will be blessed for the entire thing. As an illustration, it's kind of a weak illustration, but for me, I have a neighbor in the neighborhood that I live in. It's relatively new. And in their backyard, there's these three plastic pipes sit about this far out of the ground. And there's three of them that go down in their backyard. And every time I drive away, I look at those three pipes. I go, "That is the ugliest looking thing I've ever seen." So I was over at their house the other night, and I asked him, I said, "What's going on with those pipes?" He goes, "I don't know. I don't know what they are." I said, "Well, they don't need to be like that." So I just thought about it. I said, "You know what? He doesn't know anything about it, doesn't know why they're there, doesn't know what he can do with it. I know what to do with it. And so maybe this week I'm going to go over there, and I'm kind of setting myself up. I'm making a vow in front of all y'all. I'm going to cut those things down because it's an eyesore in their backyard." It's a silly little thing, but here's the heart. It's a small thing, because serving others doesn't have to be a big thing. You don't have to paint someone's house to serve them. I mean, you could if you want, if you don't want to paint. But you know what? Buy somebody some paint, say, "Here, paint your house." But it's the little things. All right, man. It's the little things that go the longest. Really, it is. It's just those little things. And here's the thing. Wow, I just thought of this. Even if my neighbor doesn't even notice it, that's even better. If they don't come, oh, thank you for doing that. No, no, no. If they don't even know it, even better. So if you can do something in secret, if you can do something without somebody knowing that you did it for them, oh, God. Rewards in heaven, baby. You know? Just don't go tell people you do that. Yep, they didn't tell me thanks, but I did it. I'm the one. No, have the right heart. Look for those opportunities. You got to be mindful, right? Hey, listen. It's hard to find opportunities to serve people when you're driving to work late, when stress is happening at home, when you're not getting along with your family, when things are weighing you down. Trust me, you get tunnel vision and you miss those things. But I'm telling you, if you say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, show me opportunities to serve, I'm telling you, like weeds in a garden, they will pop up like crazy. The opportunities will be there. Question is, will you meet them? Will you meet them? Can you meet them? Let's turn to John's Gospel, the third chapter. We're going to close right here. I'm going to close early, get a little bit more fellowship, a little more prayer. John 3, the most popular verse of all the Bible. John 3 and 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look at verse 17, though. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." If we live the spirit of Christmas in January, February, March, April, throughout the entire year, we're going to have opportunities for people to get saved. We've been saved. We've been given the greatest gift, that our sins are forgiven, and now we can go out and we can serve others and we can bring them to a place where they go, you know what? I want to be a follower of Christ so that they too can be saved. Christmas time is remembering what God gave to earth by the birth of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. What are we doing with the baby? What are we doing with the Savior? I'm praying that this time of year, we're all excited about time with people, that continues throughout the year. It's a great reminder, I think, for all of us. So let's live it, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word today. And Father, we pray that even as we get ready to maybe get some time off from work and maybe have a day or so or maybe even a week for some to just lie around and be with family, be with friends, be with loved ones, give and receive of gifts. Lord, I pray above it all, we would just sit and think about what you've done for us. And let that be such an overwhelming experience in our hearts that it motivates us, Lord, to continue this spirit, to continue to be used by you. Father, I would pray for all of us in this room. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflow. For those that are in this room that are already filled with the Spirit, God, fill them even more. For those that are running low and discouraged, Lord, I pray that you fill them to the brim with your Holy Spirit and that they would be encouraged by their love that they receive from you. And so, God, help us to have that right perspective. Help us to bless your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.